He stood in the back door and looked out at the fields and the road beyond and the bleak country beyond the road. On the patio was a barbecue pit, made from a 55-gallon drum slit endways with a torch and set in a welded iron frame. A few dead trees in the yard, a fence, a metal tool shed. He shrugged off the blanket and wrapped it around the boy's shoulder. "I want you to wait here. I want to go with you. I'm only going over there to take a look. Just sit here. You'll be able to see me the whole time, I promise." He crossed the yard and pushed open the door, still holding the gun. It was a sort of garden shed. Dirt floor, metal shelves with some plastic flower pots. Everything covered with ash. There were garden tools standing in the corner, a lawnmower, a wooden bench under the window, and beside it a metal cabinet. He opened the cabinet. Old catalogs, packets of seed, begonia, morning glory. He stuck them in his pocket. For what? On the top shelf were two cans of motor oil, and he put the pistol in his belt and reached and got them and set them on the bench. They were very old, made of cardboard with metal end caps. The oil had soaked through the cardboard, but still, they seemed full. He stepped back and looked out the door. The boy was sitting on the back steps of the house, wrapped in the blankets, watching him. When he turned, he saw a gas can in the corner behind the door. He knew it couldn't have gas in it, yet when he tilted it with his foot and let it fall back again, there was a gentle slosh. He picked it up and carried it to the bench and tried to unscrew the cap, but he couldn't. He got the pliers out of his coat pocket and extended the jaws and tried it. It would just fit, and he twisted off the cap and laid it on the bench and sniffed the can. Rank odor. Years old. But it was gasoline, and it would burn. He screwed the cap back on and put the pliers in his pocket. He looked around for some smaller container, but there wasn't one. He shouldn't have thrown away the bottle. Check the house. Crossing the grass, he felt half faint, and he had to stop. He wondered if it was from smelling the gasoline. The boy was watching him. How many days to death? 10? Not so many more than that. He couldn't think. Why had he stopped? He turned and looked down at the grass. He walked back, testing the ground with his feet. He stopped and turned again. Then he went back to the shed. He returned with a garden spade, and in the place where he'd stood, he chucked the blade into the ground. It sank to half its length and stopped with a hollow wood sound. He began to shovel away the dirt. Slow going. God, he was tired. He leaned on the spade. He raised his head and looked at the boy. The boy sat as before. He bent to his work again. Before long, he was resting between each shovelful. What he finally unburied was a piece of plywood covered with roofing felt. He shoveled out along the edges. It was a door, perhaps 4 feet by 6. At one end was a hasp with a padlock taped up in a plastic bag. He rested, holding the handle of the spade, his forehead in the crook of his arm. When he looked up again, the boy was standing in the yard just a few feet away from him. He was very scared.
"Don't open it, Papa," he whispered.
"It's okay.
Please, Papa, please."
"It's okay."
"No, it's not."
He had his fists clutched at his chest, and he was bobbing up and down with fear. The man dropped the shovel and put his arms around him. "Come on," he said. "Let's just go sit on the porch and rest a while."
"Then can we go?"
"Let's just sit for a while."
"Okay."
They sat wrapped in the blankets and looking out at the yard. They sat for a long time. He tried to explain to the boy that there was no one buried in the yard, but the boy just started crying. After a while, he even thought that maybe the child was right. "Let's just sit," he said. "We won't even talk."
"Okay."
They walked through the house again. He found a beer bottle and an old rag of a curtain, and he tore an edge from the cloth and stuffed it down the neck of the bottle with a coat hanger. "This," is our new lamp," he said.
"How can we light it?"
"I found some gasoline in the shed. I'll show you."
"Okay."
"Come on," the man said. "Everything's okay. I promise." But when he bent to see into the boy's face under the hood of the blanket, he never much feared that something was gone that couldn't be put right again.